Here's Glenn Gulletson, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, who are in the midst of their bye week. So what are you doing with your time off? We talked to Boudreaux yesterday. He was going to visit his grandson in Fort Wayne. What are you up to?
You know what? I'm sitting at home here, and I'm trying to be Mr. Mom for a little bit, and I'm not very good at it. I've been late already.
Really? What were you late for?
Yeah. Oh, I was late for hockey yesterday with with the youngest. So,
how old's the youngest, Glenn?
Not as good.
How old's the youngest?
It's SM Minor Hockey Week here, so she's 10. So I was a little bit late for the game yesterday, so I had to walk into the dress room and do the walk of shame there and bring her in and get her dressed. So it was not a good first day for me.
Do you get any slack because you're the coach of the Calgary Flames, or do the other parents look at you and go, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I got a few little dirty eyeballs there because I think it was an important game, but the worst came from the 10-year-old who kept reminding me of what time we're supposed to be there as I was stuck in traffic. So, that's the worst part. So I can't blame mom anymore.
I thought everyone probably didn't say anything because they're intimidated of you because of your rant.
Just have a stick in your hand, yeah. Man. You get lots of room.
Yeah, I knew where that was going with you.
Okay.
I knew where you're going.
So Glenn, we found out the reaction of some of the guys after the practice was over. How about the reaction from your kids or your daughter when you went home? What do you say to them?
Yeah, my son here was the guy that was giving it to me. He's like, nice throw, and Dad, I'll carry my own stick. I had to take him to practice, too. And so it's like, he's giving it to me the whole way. And, he's a little hockey player. But my daughters were kind of giggling because, lots of people were saying, well, they hadn't seen that before. And they're like, oh, we've seen that before. my kids got a few texts from the Hudson Bay Hockey School saying, yeah, we've seen him snap at us lighting a fire in the locker room. So
I thought the strangest, most uncomfortable part was then you're stuck without a stick over there. You got nothing going on.
I did feel a little awkward actually when it was gone. Right. And then you're like, okay, now what do I do? But it was real funny as, Benny went and got the stick and Corey Osmak, Ozzy, he there. By the time I got to the other side of the ice, he had taped up a nice knob and fully taped a new stick. So I thought it was pretty impressive with our equipment guys.
So coming into that particular practice, was there a little bit of a burr inside of you? Did it develop while you watched this practice? Was there a thought that you could do this? Was it just a natural reaction? Can you
because you won the night before.
Give us a little bit of an inside there.
Yeah, honestly, nothing. And we came off a game. We just won two big games in a row. Came in, and you know what? We come in early. So I was there late. We come in early at, 6:30, and I'm doing video. We're getting ready for the day, and we're deciding whether we're going to practice or not, to be honest with you. Just looking at our group, but I'm like, you know what? I brought a few of the guys in, and this is what kind of triggered it. I brought a few of our guys in. I said, listen, we're debating it, but we need some work on our power play. So we're going to go 20, 25 minutes of some really good, tempo here, and then, 15 on some tempo and get some skating in and work up a lather. And then we've got 10 minutes here. We got to work on our power play, and we need to execute, and we're not going to be long. So that was kind of how it started in the morning. And then when we got out there, and you guys have all been a part of this, it was awful. It was like we had won the Stanley Cup the night before, and we were out there for, we were just putting in time.
And picture day.
As the first 10, yeah, it was like, and as the first 10, 12 minutes went, and, because I premised it, I put some thought into it, and it struck me the wrong way, and I thought that we could have taken a hold of it and changed it, but we didn't. And so that's what kind of triggered it for me. So, yeah, nothing pre-planned or meditated. But, I think at some point there I was trying to decide whether I was going to smash my stick or throw it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, we've won some games. And I'm like, I'm not happy with this isn't the level. This isn't the culture. We had a lot of young guys. That was the other thing that was irking me in my 10 minutes that I had to build there was we got young guys in here, and that's not our culture. So that was going to put an end to it quickly. And, yeah, it escalated a little bit for me, but I wasn't happy with our group.
You know, Glenn, Colby and I, we've been around long enough to know that sometimes those type of reactions can help or hurt. And sometimes as players, we sit there and go, okay, he's putting on a show here, and it can almost backfire. Clearly, that wasn't the case with what you did, especially when I watched your team emotionally the last week and a half. Like, something triggered. Besides just the reaction, something triggered, because I'm watching Sam Bennett out there, and his fight was so passionate last week. And then I watched Troy Brower's reaction in Tampa Bay, and I'm sitting there going, you struck something here.
Well, you know what, Nick? I tell the guys this, and I've been asked this before, and I think one thing as a coach, when you've coached, you got to know your team, and you got to know where you are, and you have to manage that part of it. But I tell the guys, an Army skates with me, called in the summer, and I'm not smart enough to contrive anything. So, it was true emotion, and for me, it was nothing that I was trying to, premeditated in any way. It was a real emotion. And I think that when you're coaching and you're always open and honest with your players on both sides of it. So even if, I'm happy with them or happy with their play, and I let them know. And if I'm not, I let them know. And I think if you're always honest with your players and true, and you're not trying to manipulate any situation, then those true emotions can elicit, I know that my players knew, hey, he's mad. He's mad. And he doesn't like this. And I talked to them after, and a couple days after, and they agreed. They didn't like the practice either. And so at the end of the day, I think when you're real, I guess is what I'm trying to say, or you're and the emotions are honest, your team usually reacts in the right way. If I was trying to contrive something, then I'd just throw my stick like after every loss, and then hopefully we rattle off 7 in a row. So, but it's not that easy.
So what coach did you play for that you remember throwing a fit? Is there one?
Oh, everyone. Everyone. I know, I got a message from Clarky Wilm right after, and he said, nice mooner toss, referring to Lauren Mulligan.
Right.
So, for the Saskatoon Blades. And then, the best text I got from the whole thing, boys, was from, I went back a long way with him, was Tom Webster. And the moment I got off the ice, so within 20 minutes of the stick throw, I got one from Tommy, and it read something like this. He goes, back in my day, the wood sticks were a lot harder to throw, so I couldn't get the distance. But welcome to the top 10 coaches' throws. And that was from Tom Webster. I thought that was a pretty good text.
That is awesome.
You did you mind the players judging you after, when the media all went to them? I'm curious what you reckon.
No. Okay. And you know what? I don't even know what they said after.
They were very complimentary.
I don't know if they said, hey, he's an idiot or he's a... But you know what? I think it's all about knowing your players. And for me, I didn't watch. And the only thing I was upset about really is when it went on is I knew there were some young kids in the stands. I could see them out of the corner of my eye, and I wish they were a little higher up.
Did you talk to them after, or were you able to connect?
No, there was just too many. That's the one thing here in Calgary. Our practices are open to the public, so you don't have to be on a list or anything to come into the Saddle Dome. And so the one thing for me was just, and I took it from my mom, really, is my mom was here over the holidays, and she didn't like the swearing. I heard about that when I got home.
So Gully, you talk about the balance of your team, and as a player, you always kind of wonder what's going on in that coach's room, what they think of you. We think about, balancing the situation you talked about last year. You were coming through Toronto onto Montreal, took the train. It was beers on the train, and let's have a talk. This time it's, you got to give them some tough love and balancing it. I wonder if there's any more tricks up your sleeve going forward, and depending on the situation.
I like the beer.
Yeah, that's that would be my favorite. But I got to say...
that usually works pretty good.
Yeah, it always works. But I got to say, looking at your team right now and their play, and you look at Monahan and Gaudreau, But I look at Michael Ferland and what he's turned to turned into on that top line with those guys. 19 goals right now. What has been the change in his game to really kickstart it with him, with his production this year, a mentality, a style of play, or is it just him being more comfortable?
You know, I think it's a combination, a little bit of everything. Obviously, he's playing with two good players, but if I go back to a conversation that I had with him at the end of last season, and we talked, his grandfather happens to be from the same hometown as me, and I just said, listen, Frehley, if I'm sitting in here with Merv, your grandfather, and it's just you and I talking, and I would tell you that, you know, you got to have a great summer of training because you can score 20-plus goals in this league. So he kind of thought when he got on that line at first, you know, it was kind of Johnny and Monty, and then let's find this other part. But if you look at his skill set, and I told him this, is that he can shoot the puck, boys, like as good as I've seen. And the release is quick, and it's hard. He can make plays. He's tough as nails, as everybody knows. He can hit. He has a bit of everything. So the thing that I tried to tell him was that if we were sitting here today, I would have a great summer in the weight room, and because you can score 20-plus goals. I am going to play you on there. You're going to have a chance to play there. But don't start to think that you're playing there just with those two. You have a skill set that helps them, and that's what you have to bring to the table every night. And I think with him, it's about confidence, and you can see in him now his confidence is growing. He, not only is he scoring, he's making some plays. And even if you look at the Carolina game, he was physical, caused some turnovers. And when he plays his game, he's an equal part on that line, and he's starting to believe it. And I think that's the biggest change, is that confidence, Colb.
Nick and I were at that Memorial Cup in Saskatoon, and Nathan MacKinnon was the star, and you were a guest coach with Lauren Mullican during that tournament. And Michael Ferland was a pickup at the trade deadline from Brandon to Saskatoon. How different, that probably would have been your first interaction with him as a junior player. How different is he then to now? Because he was a star in junior.
Oh, it's night and it's night and day, though. You know, there he was a bit heavier. He had all this talent, right? He was a bit heavier. He was, I think that when they waited so long, I think the Saskatoon Blades there to play, he trimmed down during that time. They got him back into a little bit of shape. Now this is a guy who's a dedicated pro. When I saw him, he came actually to see me in Penticton at a rookie camp, and he made a point of walking across just because I'd met him in Saskatoon. Walked across the parking lot, said hello to me. And it's a different guy. And I look at him today, he's turned himself into an athlete. And then he had this talent package that everybody saw in junior. But this is a good pro now, and I think the sky's the limit for him.
Glenn.
And different guy.
Just before we let you go, just how the lineup's changed. Jankowski's come in and solidified a spot. And what has he done that, unfortunately, Jágr couldn't get done?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate with Jágr. We just put him on the IR here. He's been battling here, and you know, first no training camp, then injury, and then kind of a different injury, and then kind of a multiple of injuries. And, you know, we had when Jenks came in at training camp, he had a great camp. We just kind of had roster issues, but we knew at some point we wanted to get him back here. What he's done is, and this is a big hole in our league, is that he has filled that third line hole internally for us. This kid is a good 200-foot player. He's got hockey sense. He plays both ends of the rink. And, you know, he's still adjusting, but there is a lot of room for growth. But this has given us and he's got now chemistry with Bennett. So it's given us a great punch down the middle.
Sure has.
We don't want to be responsible for you being late again. When's your next game with the family? Leave now.
You know what? It's not. I'm not sure. I got to look at the calendar, but I'm sure I'm going somewhere tonight.
Okay, just leave in plenty of time. You can always just fill time at the rink. Lots of people want to talk to you. Thanks, Glenn. That's a lot of fun as always.
Yeah.
Congratulations, seven straight
wins. Thanks, guys.